Hello.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, this is my work laptop. My, yeah, another machine.
I can sympathize. My computer is trying to choke to death every day. I just keep praying it holds out.
Right. So, what do you want to talk about?
Well, this whole podcast is about NFTs and cool projects people are doing, and I figured I'd invite you into one of the early episodes because, like, when I started doing my whole crypto art journey and started blowing up Twitter with it, you were one of my early followers, so I figured I'd return that support,
Okay.
add some awareness to mutant monsters.
Okay.
So let me grab my questions here. So for anybody who's not aware of it, describe what mutant monsters is in words.
It was a development project only, in a sense, like I just tried to learn how to do NFTs and Solidity programming and so on. And I chose to use open source library for these images. And I got my thing working and I was about to start deploying my real project. But then I realized that actually these guys look pretty and nice on screen and they are kind of a goofy and funny and some people commenting on those also like them, and I thought, well, maybe I just publish this and let's see what happens. And a community came around the project, and everyone got excited and wanted to have their own space in Thanksgiving Day as a Thanksgiving for people who helped me in development and testing and so on. And then another giveaway in Halloween last fall, and I implemented some extra features like bats and spiders and stuff. And yeah, it was kind of a not really planned as such, it just happened.
That's kind of how the goose nest happened.
Yeah.
I like was building the business, COVID happened.
Yeah, that's
I was like, I'm not import anything from China right now.
right.
And so I was just kind of sitting around, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna like I have this what I have the web hosting and shit paid for the next up till December, I think it is, for that specific one I'm using right now. And I was like, I'm not using it otherwise, so why not just like make a crypto art gallery where everybody can put up their shit. And then the idea seemed to take off. So I was like, well, why not make it everything?
Yeah.
Minting a marketplace. We have social media set up. Micro sponsors is built right in for like tokenizing commissions. I'm trying to build in origin protocol for like selling physical crap peer to peer. Just within the platform, so like people could do like physical art and sell that. Like,
Yeah, I think a lot of good projects start like that. Like people just do something and kind of. This.
right. Like, I think that's really popular in the crypto space right now too, and especially the NFT ecosystem. People are like, "Oh shit, this is going to be a business. Now I got to learn things."
Right.
Figure out the legalities. Like, I mean, I don't think I can even legally do it right now because I'm in New York State and our fucking crypto regulations are back asswards. But I'm doing it anyway because decentralize all the things, right?
Right. Yeah, and one thing that's good for me is like this is totally not a revenue generating project. Like I never thought about earning anything. It's more like doing something that's interesting and cool and fun and giving away stuff and kind of building a community and having a good time doing it. So
Yeah, that's it. Oh, sorry, cut you off.
it helps when you don't try to make your living out of something you like to work. There's no pressure
Right.
doing something you don't.
Yeah, I think that seems like that's a big thing like that's becoming more and more accepted in like the Web3 ecosystem in general, where people are like, I want to be a part of this because I want to be a part of it, not because I'm trying to make a bunch of money.
And I do believe some kind of a, I don't know, wisdom or maxim that if you do what you love to do, the money will follow. Maybe. So most of the time when you are really passionate and talented and put your time and energy into something, so it eventually may become into something more, I don't know, sustainable, tangible, whatever. But there's no pressure doing that.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, right now I've maybe sold two pieces of my art in the past, like, 3 or 4 months of doing it on crypto. And, like, I've given away probably 40. But, like, that still makes me feel good because people have my stuff, you know what I mean? And, like, they get to appreciate something I did.
Right.
And I, it gives me a way to, like, share it with anonymity because I'm an introvert. You know what I mean? Like, so nobody knows who the man behind the goose is. I'm Bruce the Goose.
Yeah, it's funny.
So it's not about, it's not like me putting myself out there for people to be like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't care if Bruce the Goose is art sucks. He's a goose. Geese aren't good at art.
Yeah. And what appealed me most, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago when I first heard about crypto and blockchain, is like that. The volume of creativity and ideas and enthusiasm and so on. It was like a new internet. Like it really is like a pioneer time for computers or internet or social media and now blockchain.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of the Web3 is to build a new internet that's not basically owned by Google and Facebook.
Right.
Other big corporations like IPFS and the Ethereum network itself are doing that with like blockchain hosted websites and shit.
Yes.
It's definitely a very interesting thing to be a part of early on.
Yeah, there's no lack of ideas. Like I have so many projects on my short list and more in the long list. Like so many things one could do. I just don't have time for everything.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I have so many ideas that I like to do. I have notebooks rapidly filling up with projects I need to research and explore more, and I just never get back to them because there's too much internet on the internet. The list just keep getting bigger.
Right. So what I have learned at some point in my life is it's good to have some kind of a focus and finish something and make it ready to go rather than having 10 things on fly and nothing gets ever finished. So that's something I have learned.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
Yeah.
So. Especially now when like everybody's sitting home. So every day there's probably 1,000 new websites being put up. And people are just coming up with new ideas and decentralization's rapidly gaining traction.
Right.
Like the NFT ecosystem these past few months has blown up.
Yeah, let's say in 6 months it has totally exploded in a year. It's amazing. And I think the bottleneck today is really the blockchain itself, how it's slow and expensive and not really reliable. And not.
A couple of things worth noting on that. Topic would be Near Protocol, who is hosting Ready Layer 1 right now. And they just did a like live announcement as an Easter egg for attendees that their mainnet is actually live. And like they're doing a cross-chain hackathon this week too to like add cross-chain integration.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about, and I'm already using a sidechain for minting my mutants. And then I move the product across the bridge to the main chain. So I think the side chain is probably a way to go for more, I don't know, some kind of NFT ecosystems, but there needs to be a interface, interoperability with the mainnet as well. But that's one thing that's not very developed, and I'm thinking about doing something about that.
There is, I can't think of them right off the top of my head, but I know there's a few different people or projects working on like cross train operability. And like, I'm going to write a note to myself right now to find what the ones I'm thinking of and send you a list later if you want to look into those.
Yeah.
Because like, I have bad ADD and I'm just deep diving into the crypto world every day on the internet and notebooks filling up with projects I got to look back at, not to mention whatever I have on my fucking favorites or bookmarks on the browser that I never look at.
Yeah, that's something I'm already doing, but it's not very established. And still looking for a best good method of doing that. But what's not there yet is something like OpenSea on a side chain that's open to anyone to publish.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. So I wonder who is going to be the first one. And there are some, like Loom is doing something like that, and Engine is doing something like that, but they're corporate projects and they're not open projects. Like, I can't publish on there.
Well, Engine's like built on Ethereum, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it is, but they have also something in addition to that. But it's kind of a good example of a project that's not very appealing because it's so corporate and there are investors and kind of a, I can't really trust these guys because they are really out there making money for their investors. That's the whole ICO thing that people...
Oh, I've been around for, what, 17, 18 years as a game development company?
Oh, maybe. I really don't.
Like, I've been the driving force behind Minecraft being the online sensation that it is. First game they put on the engine chain was Minecraft.
Oh, maybe.
Posted a Minecraft around chain.
I need to do my homework.
Yeah, I've been a gamer for my whole life, and like, I've been following Engine for a decade. Yeah, I mean, that's so like, yeah, they're definitely building it as a way to make money, but like, the whole SDK is open source. Or, yeah, I believe it's open source. Build right on top of it to multiple multiverse
right. And shit.
But like, as a game development company, it's like, their focus is blockchain gaming, and yeah, probably profit, but like, they're definitely, they're currency is going to blow up, and like, you can make your own NFTs on the ERC-1155 protocol that are minted on the engine chain with locked into them.
Yeah, maybe I should explore that a little bit closer. But in general, I like open ecosystems where anyone can kind of try out and publish and use it without asking permission. Like, I think OpenSea is a good example of, it's really a corporate project with funding and so on, but it's so open that anyone, like, my favorite slogan is everyone gets to play. Like, yeah, you just try it out, and if it works, it's great. If it doesn't, do something else rather than
right
kind of a, stay outside.
Yeah, I love it. Got to talk to somebody at their team about doing the white label thing because I want to be able to, like I'm using OpenSea now on my website, but it's just my marketplace embedded. So like, but I want to have it set up that like I could just use OpenSea protocols and whatnot to just set up a Goose Nest marketplace where all the artists can create markets of their own.
Yeah, and I also agree. Like, for example, I'm using a WordPress plugin that gives, like, someone takes a fee for crypto payments and so on, but it's not. It is a reasonable fee, and I think it's okay to someone to get some kind of a fee if it makes the product and component useful for me and the fee is not outrageously high or anything.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I mean, it costs money to run the shit.
Yeah.
That's another thing I really respect about OpenSea is they take 2.5%.
Yeah.
Which they get an assload of sales and they're making money, but like Maker's Place and Super Rare take like 15 to 20.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, well. Or not Maker's Place. Yeah, Maker's Place. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, well, that's quite a lot.
It is. It's a bit excessive, I think, especially when there's people like Whale Shark who has spent on just Super Rare, he has spent like 8,000 ETH.
Right. Yeah, and then there was this early marketplace, Rarebits, that went out of business lately. So that's I think that was a good service.
Yeah. Is that the one I'm thinking of that's like NFT swap more so than like buying it?
I didn't know mutants were there as well, and I promoted that marketplace as well, but they just went out of business. And I kind of have an idea of what went wrong with them, because I remember knowing that before I knew anything about OpenSea. But sometimes a crypto, whatever project, they develop too long and they don't promote enough.
Right. You got to show it.
Yeah, and I can see there are a couple of unnamed projects I have been involved with and following. Like, they are releasing version number 3, but they don't really pay attention to foundationals when it comes to building awareness and community and getting the product out there. Like, but typically, when you are a development team and you're kind of an engineering minded, like hacking project, it's really hard to switch your brains into marketing brainwave. You just want to keep on
Yeah,
developing.
I'm on the opposite side of that fence. Like, I'm code illiterate, but I know how to shill the crap out of something.
Right.
I don't like to shill the crap out of things, because especially now, because like half of my email inbox is like, here's how you can profit during this fucking uncertain time by like basically capitalizing on people's fear and shit. Like, they don't say it that way, but that's what it is. And it's like, that's gross. Humans are trash. Like, I do not want to be marketing anything right now, but I'm starting to shill it more.
Right.
Basically, just like I need funding to hire a developer
Right.
because I'm illiterate and there's things that need to happen that I can't do. Like, I can design a website and put it together and do the shilling and make it look good, but back end stuff's beyond me.
Yeah, I guess in my case, I get the product done, but then it's not so interesting any longer. I would need another team to actually make it, like get it out to people and so on. But, well, who cares? As long as it's fun.
I have an idea. Let's start an NFT marketing company.
Yeah, that's probably need for that for sure. People have NFTs, but they don't know how to get them out then.
Let's do it.
And probably I was thinking about broader adoption, and like, I don't think crypto projects should compete with other crypto projects. They should compete with the mainstream non-crypto world and
I
getting
agree.
the products out of consumers who have no idea what it's this.
Yeah, and the founder of MicroSponsors, me and her have had the same conversation about like, look, we all have different skill sets, and at the very heart of it, I think a big part of the problem too is forced professionalism, because everybody's trying to build a business, and 90% of us have never built a business before, but now we have the time and the opportunity to do it through blockchain, and especially the NFT ecosystem, which is a baby even in blockchain terms. Like, and everybody's like, oh, I gotta act all professional all the time. When really, no, you don't. We're all fucking internet nerds with big dreams.
Yeah. So, like thinking about as an outsider who have no idea why this digital picture is not the same type of digital picture that I can download from Google or internet, how it's different, how it's a unique asset and I can collect and I can own and it's rare and so on. So we would need some services and maybe apps or something that make these assets interesting and appealing to people who are totally not interested in technology or blockchain or anything, kind of explaining how they are now new digital assets and then how to and what to do with them, how to own them, how to keep them, how to trade them, and so on.
Yeah, I've been thinking about like how to onboard like artists and musicians and other people who are like struggling to make money but are very talented, where they could turn that into a digital asset instead of trying to sell like a CD on the shelf. that you can make. You can go on Rarible, for example, and do like cover art as an art NFT, and have an unlockable that has a link to download the actual songs or a private video on YouTube where they're displayed or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that adds that exclusivity and the FOMO, and like, there's easy ways to get your money in and out of crypto too. So like, you could easily, I'm working on integrating a fiat on-ramp from Wire, where like, you can just buy crypto with a credit card.
Yeah.
And then like, it's easy enough to sell your crypto for cash, and a lot of countries, they have Bitcoin ATMs.
Right. So how do you see your business going? Like, what's the next?
Well, I mean, it's really not a business. In my opinion, it's a community platform that's available for the community.
Right.
The plan is to establish a DAO. So like, everybody that signs up as a creator will get governance tokens immediately, and like, collectors will be able to buy governance tokens. So everybody has a say. Like, if you don't like something, fucking change it. Like, I don't want to control it if it gets big. Like, that wasn't my intention. I just wanted to make an open platform for everybody to use. But like, now that I have the ability to make it so much more, like, I may as well. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And like, there'll be minimal sales fees. Like, if I do it through the OpenSea white label, like, OpenSea will get 2.5%, and then I'll probably set like 3% or 4% for like, to the marketplace wallet of the Goosenet. But then like, that'll pay for bounties when shit needs plan, like, there's gonna be fantastic challenges that are gonna get rewarded in their crypto, and like, it'll pay for, I can swap that Ether into Bitcoin easily and go get a Bitcoin prepaid Visa and spend that on Google ads. And like,
so many
Google ads, like, I never used, like, I and like, as much as I need, like, that's where everybody is, your audience.
Right.
Google ads, Facebook ads, Twitter ads. And like, that'll promote the platform, yeah. But it'll also promote the artists on the platform who are trying to sell their stuff. So like, that's money. But the plan is, I would like to have smart contracts written to royalty payments to every artist on every resale of their work if they minted it.
Right.
Which is so far beyond me. Like, I can barely hello world. It takes me a couple tries.
Right.
Code illiterate. I've tried to learn, and like, I just don't have the attention span.
Yeah.
Like, I tried. But it's like, I don't understand half of what you're saying. I'm going to continue to not understand the other half of it for the next hour, so I'm just going to stop.
All right. So what do you want to know about mutants or anything?
Let me get me list of questions here. So how did you get introduced to NFTs originally? Like, what brought you down this rabbit hole?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was like, I would say 14 months ago, I have been in the crypto world about 3 years now, a long experience with computing and computers and programming and business as well, and education, by the way. But also, I read a Medium article about CryptoPunks, and I thought, oh, this is nice. I didn't know. And I'm married with an artist, a printmaker who produces art as her main source of income. And I was reinventing the wheel by myself, trying to figure out how to publish this art digitally as it's published in the real world. And then I read about CryptoPunks, and I thought, there's something already, and some education for myself, and Googling and realizing, okay, this is quite established technology already, and there's markets and so on, so why don't I just start using it? And then my first project, a mutant project, was really establishing a NFT that has like one product, but unique series of the one product. So each mutant has an alpha mutant.
Unfortunately, we got cut off, but we will be setting up another time to get back on a call and do another episode about mutant monsters and the whole NFT ecosystem and decentralizing all the things. I'll catch you guys later. Thanks for listening. This has been NFT Time with Mutant Monsters.